Anybody remember who buried Moses? Yeah, God buried Moses. God buried Moses. And it was because of contention. Let me get to the sermon. When Moses died, this is important for us, God appointed Joshua. Do you realize that throughout Scripture, every church, there was not one church where the people voted on who was going to be the pastor? The pastor was always sent by God. The pastor would always stand out as different, and God would send them. God never entrusts, nor does he today, never entrusts his ministry through preaching to the human race. Whatever we touch, we taint. So what has he done? God said, I will lay it on a heart of my people to preach. Therefore, how do we know that? Because individuals within a church will know whether or not that individual is preaching the gospel or not. Christians know. Joshua is one of those that needs to be an example. Joshua was fearless. His personality was fearless. You see, Joshua was not just picked by God as a great leader. Joshua knew what the people had went through. He also was in slavery. He knew the hurt and the pain. And God said, I'm choosing you. Now, I want you to look at Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him. Most people would not have done that. You don't walk up to somebody with a sword in their hand, especially in our generation either. Joshua went up to him. Are you for us or for our enemies? And verse 14, because you Bible students and scholars, I want you to pay attention to this one. Verse 14, neither, he replied. Are you for us or against us? Neither, he replied. Well, who was this person? But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. The commander of the Lord's army replied, I'm sorry. And he asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, let me explain something here. It's important to you. Here we have a scripture, and you have Joshua seeing a man with a sword. Many of those who do background research and all that I read and everything, the younger ones said that this was an angel. You and I, as Christians, need to understand something. If this had been an angel, the angel would have told him to get up. I am a servant as you are a servant. He was talking face to face to Jesus Christ. Why, how do I know that? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Only Christ would have made that statement. And only Christ, Jesus himself, would have looked him straight in the face when he said, whose side are you on? Are you for us or against us? Jesus said, neither. Jesus did not come to take sides. He came to take over. He said, I'm here to take over. Joshua, you can't fight these battles. You don't know what you're doing. I've come to take over. Jesus, even in the Old Testament, Jesus is still in control. Always has been, always will be. You'll see a whole lot of Jesus in the Old Testament. But some folk, for some reason, don't want to look at it that way. Oh no, Jesus didn't come about till later. If Jesus that you serve did not come about till later, you got the wrong Jesus. He has always been with the Father, always been apart. But here's what happens to us as human beings. You and I have it, so listen to it. God wanted to remind Joshua that his victories in battle had nothing to do with Joshua. Joshua, you didn't do this. You did not win that Bible. It was that battle. It was not by human power. God said to him this. Listen, you all know I love this verse. Joshua 24, verse 12. Jesus looks at him and says, I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. This is Joshua fitting the battle of Jericho. God says, I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, the two Amorite kings, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. Christian, listen. You will never be able to conquer what is going on in your life when you're fighting the battle. The battle is Jesus's to take care of, not you. Well, what does he tell me to do, preacher? I thought I was supposed to stand and fight. Why don't you stand there, Christian, and wait upon the Lord, as God said, I say, wait. Why do we get hurt in so many situations in our life? We attempt to take over when we say, oh, I have faith that Jesus will take care of it, so I'm going to go out and fight the battle. You know what he tells me to do, tells you to do? I want you to stand there, and I want you to stand there with holy boldness. I want you to stand there though your knees are shaking, though your whole body is trembling, though fear is in the human condition. I want you to stand there with all holy boldness. Because I'm sending the hornet. Oh, think of that. Joshua, your wisdom in battle has been replaced by an insect. I'm in control, says God. And when God is in control, it's not the idea, okay, I want you to relinquish control, your control to God. God does not need my control. He is in control. Jesus comes down face to face with Joshua. Don't you think that that in itself tells you how important Joshua is to our history? How you and I need to imitate Joshua's actions before God as an example? He was a man. And because he was human, God knew that the human flaws would come out. There's no human being within the sound of my voice that it does not have flaws in their life. Every one of us are sinners. Every one of us not only have made mistakes, sometimes we've chosen to make them. Not only have we not ran from sin, we ran towards it. That's that old nature that is saturating us. Jesus said, I've told you to stand there. And you stand there and watch me. You remember Stephen, the first martyr as a Christian. He was preaching Jesus. They said, stop preaching Jesus. How do you stop preaching Jesus when you got Jesus in your heart? What, how can these people get me afraid of them when I know who's in charge? Think of it. Stephen said, no, I will continue to preach him. And at that time, they were ready to stone him to death. But Jesus wanted to give them a shot at eternal life. And Jesus let Stephen give them a lesson. Stephen was standing there. The stones began. Stephen looks up and he says, I see Jesus. He's standing at the right hand of God the Father. And they were going wild. And Stephen was looking up at Jesus. And do you know that that's the only place in the Bible where you will ever read that Jesus stood? He was always seated at the right hand of God the Father, never standing. But when he saw his servant Stephen standing up, taking the licks, Jesus stood up for him. And he will continue. Folks, I am to stand facing the enemy, and I am to stand trusting in Jesus Christ that he's going to take care of that enemy. Because remember, if you, because of your Christian conviction, have made enemies, then those enemies are also God's enemies. Turn them over to the Lord. I guarantee you, he can take control. Isaiah 33, verse 6. He will be the sure foundation for your times. Did you catch that? For your times. Time, time, time again. He's always the sure foundation. Doesn't matter what time in history that you and I come along, Jesus is always the sure foundation. A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Fear, reverence, awe. That's what fear translates into. True reverence, true awesome experience. For you stand there in the presence of Almighty God, and you have a fear. Stephen had a fear, but it was not the fear of the stones. Stephen had a fear that those around him would not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, Stephen was so close to the Lord, he didn't say, wait a minute, Lord, stop them. Because the very one who was leading the pack that stoned Stephen to death, his name was Saul, later to be known as the Apostle Paul. It was a message from heaven. Stephen, you've done enough. Come on. Come on home. Can't you imagine the reunion in heaven when Stephen or Paul met Stephen? Gosh, think of that. Do we not understand, Christian, that it is the power of who Jesus is within the life of every Christian, that it is Christ himself who will give you the strength to stand there, but it will be Jesus who does the cleaning up. It will be Jesus who will do the convicting. Don't you ever try to convince someone to be a Christian. If they're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, it's only words. But at any point when you can look at a person, and a Christian can, when you know that individual is under conviction and God sent you there, you tell him about true salvation. It's not in the mind. It's in that spiritual heart that only Christ can make pure. I died for you, Larry. Larry, do you have the boldness to live for me? I died for everyone. Whosoever will, let him come. Will you live for Jesus? Oh, I get excited about stepping over. You all know that. But my friends, I've been given a ministry. That ministry will cease when the Lord calls me home. But not until then. But the ministry still belongs to Jesus, not me. I am commanded by Almighty God to allow Jesus to flow through me and his words. I am commanded by God not to be tolerant or not to tolerate false gods within his church. He said, I don't want you to tolerate it, because I won't. People said, don't you have tolerance in this generation? Well, I can tell you this. The ones who come closest to tolerance are the Christians, not anybody else. God said, I am in control. And then, about 300 years after Joshua, we look at history. And as you look at history, every time the nation Israel would break down or separate from God, they would fall once again into almost slavery with the Philistines or whoever it may be. The Egyptians, didn't matter. How would they fall into slavery? Don't you remember the trip that Moses took with them, bringing them across, that every day they grumbled and griped? Let us go make bricks for Pharaoh so we can eat the good food, so we don't have to think for ourselves. Pharaoh will think for us. Take us back, Moses. No, it was not the Egyptian army that was Moses' greatest hindrance. It was the Hebrew nation that he led out of slavery because they didn't want to think for themselves. Oh, let somebody else do the thinking. I'll just enjoy the cheese as it comes. I'll enjoy the gifts as they come. I got news for you, my friends. If it does not come from God, you better not partake of it. I am not to partake of anything offered to idols within God's church. Did you know that? I am commanded by God not to let idolatry take off in the church. Wonder why we would still have that trouble in our generation. The greatest idol of today is self and money. And let me just remind you of this. If you really want to know what God you serve, you can answer that for yourself. What does your mind think of continually? What do you continually think about? What's always on your mind? What's always coming from your lips? Is it the new trucks? Is it money? Is it a child? Oh, I worship the ground that child walks on. Please don't say that. God is the only one through his son Jesus you and I are to ever worship. Do not bring that on the head of your child or grandchild. I love my grandson and my son very, very much. But neither will or never have been first. But because I will put Christ first, they are blessed. Catch it, Father. Catch it, family leader. Catch it. When they see me serving God and they realize, you know, he must be real. What picture are you portraying for your family? Let me go on to the warning, which is number two. Samson is a warning about carelessness. Samson. Story of Samson, mighty man, killing all the Philistines. He's the one that Peter would have locked up today. Because remember, he took the foxes and tied the tail together and put a torch in between to burn the grain of the Philistines. You know, I used to always think about that, thinking, you know, those poor pair of fox. And if you'll study it, you will see there were 300 fox. He'd be going to jail the rest of his life today, wouldn't he? But it was a battle. And he was powerful. But something happened. He got caught up in himself. He was the last judge of Israel. Listen to this, Judges 16:20. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. What's the scripture talking about? Every time they tried to trap Samson, they'd tie him, fetter him. They would do all they could. He'd wake up, he'd break everything loose, and he'd kill a bunch of them until he met a Philistine woman by the name of Delilah. She was a beauty. And finally he told her the secret was his hair. And let me just explain this to you. Can't help it. It's important. You all are smart alecks when I get there. He had taken the Nazarite vow. His mother, from before he was born, knew that he would be raised that way. They'd never cut their hair. But when they cut his hair, he lost his strength. But the story had nothing to do with his hair. It had to do with him obeying God. In obedience, he never cut his hair. Hair has no power, has no feeling. I'm sorry you all even have it, because there's nothing to it. But what the commitment was from his heart. Would he keep the vow that he had made? When he broke the vow by saying, my strength is in my hair. No, the strength was in his obedience. And we know that morning when I read you the scripture, he wakes up and Delilah has betrayed him. And he thought, I'll break free, go out as I've always done. He didn't make it because his strength had left. And the scripture says, because God has stepped away from him. It's the power is in our obedience to the word of God, not on anything physical. It is on our obedience. And when we are obedient to him, then God says, that's fine. But when we become disobedient, you might as well get a haircut. Because God will step away. The Lord had left him. Listen to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That was that awesome respect and reverence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you have that awesome respect for God, that's just the beginning, folks. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart, not this human pump sitting right here. Guard your spiritual being, your spiritual heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I guarantee you, when you get careless with your heart, when you walk away, you need to understand that the condition of your heart will determine the course of your life. The condition of your heart will determine the course of your life. If you've sold your heart to the world for filthy lucre, which is money, when you sell your heart, the scripture says the Lord had left him. You know what has destroyed the freedom of every nation? Great nation, period. It is when that nation has a spiritual heart attack. When a nation together, united like we are in the United States of America, we, my friends, have had a spiritual heart attack in this nation. When you don't have a heart for Christ, I guarantee you this, you will lose your freedom. Watch it. look closely. It's not any leaders of government that can do it. It's the people. It's the church. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Why? The house of the Lord has the power to change the world. How? By making sure your heart is in good condition. That spiritual heart that God has given you. That spiritual heart that will carry you to the presence of Almighty God. You and I are commanded by God, take it to the world. Let them know, Larry, I love them. And whosoever will, let them come. But one thing don't you dare do. Don't play with sin. Sin's not a game, it's war. Sin is not a game, it's war. Don't play with it. Every time you think, well, I'm a Christian now, I can make it. You can't. You go ahead and get off that path. Give me a call, I'll be there to give all the help I can of getting you out of the ditch of life, because you're headed for the ditch, my friends. But if you'll stand strong for Christ, he will stand strong for you. I've heard many people talk about how Samson went to hell because of what he had done. Look up Hebrews 11:32, and you will see the record of the saints. Samson is a part of that record. He's there. Why? Remember the repentance? They popped his eyes out. And yet, when his hair grew back, reminding him of his obedience, then when his hair grew back, he destroyed the Philistines. Do you have, or will you allow the power of Christ in you to destroy the enemy of God that is out there? When you invite Jesus in, it's over. Just a beginning for you, but God help those who are standing against you. It doesn't get better than that, my friends. Turn your heart over to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your will be done within our heart. Give us peace. Help us to have that joy of salvation that only you can give. Give us the holy boldness, Father, that we're going to need, because the battles are raging, and all you've asked us to do is stand there. Give us that courage to stand and depend on you. We ask the blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.